This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're in day five this week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, I had a special guest, Mary Hager from Minnesota, who shared her dynamic conversion story and the story of the conversion of many, many people in their own parish and other parishes, and the development of a ministry called Core Ministries that has touched the lives of thousands of people in the Minnesota area and beyond. And the co-founder of Core Ministries is a gentleman who's now our guest today, Deacon Michael Tennis. And I've asked Michael to share with us his own story of conversion and then kind of his perspective on some of the ministry that they've experienced in the work of evangelization in their parishes. Welcome, Michael.
Well, it's a pleasure, Peter, to be with you this day.
Thank you.
So, you want to know about a conversion story. I grew up as a typical Catholic boy in a suburban area in Minneapolis and became quite a traditional Catholic. I walked the walk, talked the talk, because I was growing up in a community that was Catholic. And so obviously, as every Catholic, good Catholic boy is supposed to do, is supposed to consider the priesthood. And sister thought that it would be a great thing for me to do. And I said, yes, right, sister, that's fine. And interesting enough is that I did not think that that was a path that God was calling me to. And in the eighth grade, we had been confirmed, and I met my first CCD teacher who was a male. Hmm. And to be honest, Mr. Damaris was one of the most fantastic men I'd ever met who was willing to witness the faith. And yet, you know, as a kid, I didn't know exactly what that was all about, but I could answer all the questions. And eventually, I came away from the church as that typical teenager who separates himself from going to Mass each weekend and such. And eventually, though, when I was in college, I felt a calling back to the Newman Center and went to Mass each weekend. And there was a dynamic feeling of church in the college setting. And with time, I thought about being a priest again, and I said, oh, no, I think I'd rather become a dentist. Exactly why that is, who knows. But eventually, I made it through dental school and went out into the rural area and got involved in our parish. I mean, I was a single guy, and as a result, kind of looking for a wife, I suppose, and thinking a parish was a good place to find a good woman.
Yeah.
And so I got really
strategic
involved.
Strategic ministry.
You got it. And so I got involved. I was the chairman of the parish pastoral council and the liturgy committee, and I helped with maintenance, took off the shingles of the roof of the rectory and cleaned all that up and thought I was doing God's work. And in my evenings, I would sit down and do, well, what some people would say a dumb thing is I'd sit and read the catechism. And I'd say, well, gee, if this is the faith and this is what we're supposed to believe, I wonder exactly what it is we're supposed to believe. And so by the time I got done, I probably went through the catechism twice and said, boy, I'm now a Catholic, and I really, truly can answer any question that anybody wants. Mm-hmm. And continued on going through the committee process and various other committees at the parish, and yet didn't really feel fulfilled. I kept going to Mass and saying, yes, that Father did that just as we said he was going to do it, but I was walking away not feeling really connected with my church. And I contemplated that quite a few months, and one day as I was driving down from one office to another, I would swear that I had a voice in the car. And it said, what are you going to do for me? And I almost went right off the road. I looked into the rearview mirror and thought, there's somebody in my car.
Like an audible voice?
Like an audible voice, yes.
My goodness, really?
And so I thought, my goodness, I was a psychology major before I went to dental school. And I said, I'm going to need to go find a therapist because I'm now hearing voices. And so I kept that kind of under hat for a couple weeks. And it was about Christmas time, and on my way from office to my house, I lived in the rural area, and around Christmas time in Minnesota, it's pretty dark in the evening. And as I was going down the road, I saw this glow of light ahead of me, and I thought, I wonder what that is. And so as I snaked my way down the country roads, I came across a house on fire. And yet it was very, very odd in that I knew the guy that was living there was by himself. And yet the fire department was sitting out on the road talking amongst themselves. They weren't fighting the fire. They were just saying, well, that's a single guy who thinks he can take care of himself. And he decided that he was going to take care of the fire by himself. And so we're just letting him do what he thinks he needs to do. And if the house burns down, the house burns down. And so I kind of joked around with the fireman that I knew, and I turned around. And as I was driving home, I came to the realization that my life was like this guy's house. That as a dentist and a single dentist at that, I could buy the house, I could get the car, I could get the boats, I could get the cycles, I could get the snowmobiles, I could get all of these things in my life to make me happy, and yet I wasn't happy. And then with that realization that my life was like that, I was burning through money, I was doing all these things, but that wasn't what it was all about. And again, I heard that voice that said, well, I asked you a question. And at that moment, I came to that realization that there was more to this life than just the material things. And with time, I came to the realization that what I was trying to do was to take the material things of this life and put them in the God-shaped spaces in my heart. And so I sat down with the scriptures. I sat down with other people, with my pastor. Eventually got to the vicar general of our diocese. And said, I think there's a calling on your life. And he says, I would suggest that you pursue that. And so I decided I would get into the permanent diaconate and see what they had to say. And so I go through the 2,500 hours of classes. And
2,500 hours?
2,500 hours.
That's a lot.
And, yes. And looked at it and kept going, well, this must be what God calls us to do, is just to keep working for the church and to do these things to help people. And interesting enough is about 3 months before I was ordained, I sat down with one of my teachers at one of the local lakes, and we spent an evening talking about whether or not Jesus was real. And we came to the understanding that, yes, he apparently was a real person, but as to whether or not he was God, well, that was up to question and speculation. And I remember driving home from that going, I'm going to make a vow to serve this Lord, and yet I'm not even sure if he's God. And so I had this great turmoil going on in my life about that for a bit, and then came to the decision that he was real. And so went through taking the vows of celibacy and obedience and became a deacon. And on my ordination day, I drove into my driveway. I sat in the driveway in my car and said, well, now what does all this mean? I mean, after all, I can now speak on behalf of the church, but what exactly does that mean? And so a few months later, I was talking with my pastor, and he says, so what do you want to do? And I said, I want to build community. He says, you know how to build community? And I said, you don't? And he said, no. He said, but I'm going to try to figure out how we're going to do this. And so I met Mary Hagar, and Mary Hagar connected me with the Charismatic Renewal in a very odd and strange way, in that she invited me off to a healing seminar in Steubenville, Ohio at the Franciscan University. And yet that is not something that I would normally consider even doing because, I mean, these people were out on the edge. And, I mean, I was that staunch middle-of-the-road Catholic traditionalist, and I wasn't going to go to a healing conference and try to learn something about healing when I knew that we got healing in the church and that we were fed in the Eucharist. And so interesting enough, as I'm walking the streets of Steubenville, wondering how I got into Steubenville, Ohio. And interesting enough is the night that we had the a prayer service, I remember sitting there saying, these people are a bunch of off-the-wall charismatics, and that thank goodness I only had 12 hours to go before I could be on my way home again. And an interesting piece was that a priest said that he had this very interesting gift of God, that when he sprinkled people with holy water, they fell down. And I thought, yep, mass hysteria, and this wasn't for me. So as I came along watching him, all of a sudden I felt something on my arm, and it felt like fire, and down I went. And I had a peace and joy of God that I never had in my entire life. And from that moment on, my life was changed. I knew that Christ was real, that God wanted a relationship with me, though I felt unworthy of it at the time. But that life has changed. That was June 16th of 2002. It's now almost 7 years later, and that fire is still there.
It's amazing to think. One of the things Mary said that you two have, and others working with you, have said you're environmental architects, that you guys help set up environments, evangelistic environments in your parish and other places where people can encounter the Lord. You were just describing your own experience, and the Lord touches us in many, many different ways when we encounter Him, and different people have different experiences. But the bottom line is what ends up happening when there's environments of faith and Jesus as Lord is acknowledged and raised up and there's expectation and hope and confidence, the Lord is able to move in a way that He often doesn't move in environments that don't do that. And so the experience you had of the living encounter with Jesus transformed your life. And here you'd been a Catholic all your life. You had gone through formation and training. Didn't invalidate that stuff, but there just was more. There's something more deep. There's something more personal, life transforming, wasn't there?
Well, as I look back at it, like Ezekiel, dry bones, I felt that I was of those dry bones. I had a skeleton. I had a life, but it had no real life in it, and that God was able to blow into those bones and make them alive. And that's why we got involved in core ministries with being environmental architects and saying, if it can happen to us in rural Minnesota, it can happen anywhere because God is everywhere.
I was talking with Mary Swallow about Pope John Paul II's line of, the Catholic is someone who believes with deep conviction that Jesus Christ is alive, that He's acting in the present, and He's changing lives. And when that conviction is alive in our heart, and the only way to make it, the only way it can come alive is if we know Him and experience Him in a deep way. If that conviction is alive in us, we become contagious. And that's exactly what happened to you guys and your parish. And now how many parishes have you guys worked with helping with evangelization?
Well, depending upon what's going on in their parishes, it's between 20 and 25, depending upon the time of the year. 25 during the fall when many of the programs are getting started, and then they kind of peter out come about June.
Yeah, and I know we're here in Minnesota right now recording this kind of on the road, and we're about to engage, start tomorrow in evangelization school, the very one that you guys came to some 7 or 8 years ago. I don't even remember how many years ago it is now. Is it 7 years or so?
It should be 8 years.
8 years. Yeah, well, it was a life-transforming experience for you and for us, and the Lord continues to amaze us. But when you preach the basic gospel message and put people in touch with the core of the gospel, you find they're a dynamic source of life that has tremendous power to transform the human heart. Deacon Michael, it's great to have you here with us. I wish we had more time. It went by so fast. And thank you for sharing your story with us. And God bless you, and God bless all the work of Core Ministries.
And same to you, Peter.
If you'd like to know more about the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to this program and archive programs there on the computer. Just download it to your iPod. I want to remind you tonight, Crossing the Goal on EWTN at 9 p.m. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Michael Tennis saying, let's open our hearts to all that the Lord has for us and the promise He desires to fulfill in each one of our lives. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.